and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudley Wickham Ashby. And as usual, I have another exciting, informative program focusing on disability. And this week, I'll be looking at inclusive education and an upcoming regional conference. And to help me carry this conversation is none other than our own Janelle Odo, attorney at law, national advocate in the Ministry of People Empowerment and Elder Affairs, secretary to the Caribbean Disability Network, and so many other things. Welcome to Visions, Janelle.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Right. So, Janelle, let's start by talking about the Caribbean Disability Network. Tell us about this organization.
Okay, so the Caribbean Disability Network was formed just late last year after the first Caribbean Disability Conference. And what it is a regional organization that advocates for persons with disabilities and empowers persons with disabilities. So it works alongside all the national organizations throughout the Caribbean and persons with disabilities from throughout the Caribbean to advocate for the rights of persons with disabilities. And one major project of ours is the annual Caribbean Disability Conference. It started last year in Grenada, and this year we're bringing it to Barbados.
And why did you choose Barbados?
Well, we have a lot going on here in Barbados that we have to be proud of. Just last year, October, the National Policy for Persons with Disabilities was passed in Cabinet. And then in January, we enacted the Rights of Persons with Disability legislation. And currently, we are working on educational transformation. So we found this is a right and perfect time to bring a discussion to Barbados to inform everyone what we expect of them when promoting the rights of persons with disabilities and upholding those rights of persons with disabilities. So we're bringing persons from throughout the Caribbean, that is persons with disabilities, ministers, governmental organizations, and non-governmental organizations, advocates, caregivers, and anyone who's interested in inclusive education to Wyndham Resort, where we're going to discuss inclusive education.
Excellent, excellent. I think inclusive education is one of those pillars that should always be discussed.
I agree, definitely.
Right. So can you share a bit more about the actual conference in terms of the focus being on inclusive education and maybe even explaining to us what is inclusive education?
Okay, so what a lot of people don't know is that persons with disabilities are most of the time at a disadvantage when it comes to education. Yes, there are special schools. Yes, there are schools that persons with disabilities attend, but most often than not, the curricula, they're not in place to aid persons with disabilities. Not enough teachers are trained to deal with persons with disabilities. This leads to inequality on the job market after leaving school. And I know the past MP Edmund Hinkson always stated that 90% of persons with disabilities in Barbados are unemployed. And this stems a lot from the educational system because after leaving school, many persons with disabilities are not prepared or equipped to enter the job market because of the lack of inclusive education. So inclusive education is a system where everything in a system is equipped to deal with persons regardless of their ability. So this conference will look at the various pillars. That is early childhood education and primary inclusion. It looks at inclusive curricula. It looks at teacher training. It looks at assistive devices because devices are extremely important when dealing with persons with disabilities. So these are devices like screen readers for the blind and visually impaired, or even persons who may be dyslexic severely and may not be able to read efficiently, well, print disabled, I should say, as well. Different devices such as picture boards and stuff like that for persons who learn in that way, and all sorts of devices we will look at. We also look at the role of technical and vocational training, because we need to accept the fact that not everybody is going to, you know, be inclined to academic teaching and learning. So the technical and vocational training, as we are seeing, especially these days, is an effective way as well on the job market. So it also looks at how to make technical and vocational training inclusive of persons with disabilities. We're also going to look at regional alignment. So how we can get the countries in the Caribbean to come together and have similar policies, similar legislation, or what can be done to ensure that there's inclusive education throughout the region. And we're going to have, as I said earlier, ministers and persons from government in this conversation. We're going to have persons from the University of the West Indies in this conversation. We're going to have teachers in this conversation. Of course, persons with disabilities and other advocates. So we're bringing this discussion to Windham so persons can hear what is currently going on, what can make it better, and of course, get ideas for best practices from throughout the region.
That's quite a lot, Janelle. And as you said, it's extremely imperative that these conversations are held not just at regional conferences, but in the different spheres, as you have mentioned, like the University of the West Indies, the Ministry of Labor, the Ministry of Social Care, Social Transformation, People Empowerment, whatever that ministry is called in the various islands, that really have responsibility for vulnerable groups like the community of people with disabilities. So it's really critical that these conversations are held at a regular basis as well, not just once a year at regional conferences, but that they're continuous.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so we're highlighting the importance of inclusive education, the alignment of legislation, the alignment of policies. How else do you see inclusive education really transforming the lives of people with disabilities in the region?
Well, I believe that a huge step towards inclusive education is definitely teachers' training. We need to have more teachers who are trained and equipped and ready to teach children and adults as well with varying abilities, because we cannot ignore the fact that there are also a lot of persons with disabilities who have not been diagnosed in the school system. And a lot of the times these children and these persons fall through the cracks because the teachers generally do not know how to teach them, or just write them off as being hard, or as being difficult or something like that. So I believe that teacher training is one of the first steps that we need to look to ensure inclusive education.
So Janelle, do you have any stories that you can share to really demonstrate the power of inclusive education, how it has really transformed the life of either a child or an adult?
Oh my word, I have several personal stories.
Okay.
Several. I can't say that. I had several occasions when I was in secondary school where there were some teachers that would say, well, I don't usually talk when I write it on the board, so I don't know how you can get this note. And then I had to be there asking people, can you read to me? Can you read to me? And then I had to be up many nights, up to 1 o'clock or sometimes in the morning, having someone at home read things to me so I can braille them out to have work the next day, just so I can stay on top of the class. And there were several occasions too when I would hear teachers saying, well, I don't know how to teach her. I don't know how to cater to her, so I can't teach her. And there was actually one instance when I was at BCC where a tutor outright refused to teach me. So there I was in the class, sitting there and having not a clue what was going on in class because I'm blind. He's written on the board. He's illustrating stuff and I cannot follow along. And no matter how many times I asked for him to explain, he wouldn't. So they are, and I have several more stories to illustrate how schools could, you know, be inclusive. And
yeah, you know, as you shared your story about being at BCC and the tutor bluntly refusing to be cooperative in supporting your educational learning, I had a similar experience at University of the West Indies where a tutor, again, like you said, oh, I never taught a blind woman before. I don't know what to do. And like your experience, again, he refused to teach. And that resulted in me having to delay by 1 year to have an alternative course ascribed to me. And these are issues that sometimes we accept quietly without publicly speaking about them, but they occur and they hinder and sometimes really challenge us to do other things, you know, find other solutions while some agencies, some individuals are still adamant about keeping the prejudice and discrimination at that high level instead of reducing it.
I can give a positive story.
Go ahead.
And I'm sorry to hear about your experience at UWE, but when I was at University of Essence and law faculty here in Barbados, the same year that I entered, the law faculty went completely paperless. So because they did, everything was online, on the computer, so I was able to access the information. When the tutors and lecturers were teaching, they had to have digital documents. So using my screen reader software and everything, I was able to access that information, and that was extremely beneficial to me because even if it wasn't the right format or anything like that, I could use a program to change the format to suit me, and it would still have access to the information. So I found that as a very good way, actually, to include persons, because other persons with disabilities as well, they could have the documents, they could change to put it in whatever format to help them, and so on. So I had actually a pretty good experience at UWE here in Barbados.
Great, great. Well, I had some good times as well. But, you know, we always come up against these barriers, because I always remember when I first entered UWE, the registrar of the exam department was one of the first persons to approach me to ask, how can UWE support you, especially the exam department? How can we facilitate your taking these exams that will be convenient and easy for you to manage? And we worked out our process, and that was plain sailing, really positive. I've had some other positive experiences, but, you know, the barriers will always come. And it is for us to find solutions for these barriers.
You know, Yudeli, I actually commend the registrar for asking you that. Because one thing that we need to accept as human beings is that we don't have all the answers. We will not always understand everything. And it's okay not to understand, but you can always get that information. If you don't understand how to support somebody, there's nothing wrong with asking that person, what support do you need? What do you need from me in order to help you? And that is a step towards inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No. How do you think our schools and universities in the region can do a better job at supporting the inclusion of students with varying disabilities?
Okay. One thing that I would like to see in place is, because I think it's still in the draft, actually, a draft inclusive education or special education policy, I think it is. And it gives a lot of information on what is needed or what should be in place to include students. So what we need to do right now is to have that conversation as well. Find out from persons with varying disabilities what is needed in the system and put things in place. We need some more investment resources so we can have more assistive devices throughout the school to help with varying disabilities. As I said before, we need the teacher training as well. And we need to have IEPs, you know, individual educational plans, so that persons in the school system can have their needs met. But in order to have their needs met, the teachers must have access to information which states what the child requires, what can help them, have access to if there are different therapists involved, speech therapy or occupational therapy and stuff like that, to work together as a unit for the benefit of that child. And of course, include the parent as well, because the parent can also have a lot to say on how to improve the education of that child. So I believe that putting all of these things in place will be very close to having a perfect educational system. I say very close, not perfect.
Yes. No. Why do you think it is important for persons with disabilities to be central you know, in the process of improving our educational system, our structure, so that when we say the word inclusive education or special needs education, it's really placing that student with a disability at the center. And as you were highlighting just now, having a multidisciplinary team that can work with the student, work with the child or adult, that they can fit in comfortably, participate, you know, in a well-structured program that benefits everybody, not just the student with the disability, but also the other students who may be in that classroom setting.
Well, as I would have stated earlier as well, we cannot adequately plan for somebody without knowing exactly what their needs are and how you can help. So by speaking with persons with disabilities, like including us in the conversation, you are finding out from us what can help. And believe me, we know what has been done for us before, what has worked and what has not worked in order to improve life for us in general. So when you discuss and have us central to the conversation, we can tell you what we need and what we think will work as well. There is that slogan, you know, saying nothing about us without us. So you cannot adequately and effectively plan for us, plan an educational system for us without having a clear understanding of what we need and what the requirements are.
Well, I agree very much with you, Janelle, because many times we have witnessed plans and decisions made without involving the same people, meaning the people with disabilities. So it's really critical. And one other thing that I think sometimes we forget, both as people with disabilities and the persons working in the field of education, is that education is a right. So how can organizations like the Caribbean Disability Network work with governments and other regional entities to ensure that schools and universities, colleges, you know, educational institutions generally can move from talk to action? Because we've had quite a lot of talk over the last, 30, 40 decades. So we need some serious action now.
So one thing we're seeing, especially in this conference that's coming up, we're trying to get all the entities on board to have similar legislation and policy enacting the rights under the CRPD, especially as it relates to education. So yes, I know you said it had enough talk and all of that, but the reality is there are still some people who are not clear on what is needed, what the rights are, what the rules are, and stuff like that. So by having a discussion with all the actors involved, we are starting and we're opening a place where we can come together and understand each other and try to encourage one another by telling them why these things are important. And hopefully, we can get some kind of regional alignment at the end of the day, or at least an understanding. There will also be a declaration coming out of the conference where we're asking persons with disabilities, the organizations of persons with disabilities, advocates, representatives of governmental organizations to agree that we'll work towards the promotion of inclusive education in our countries after the conference, and that we'll work to come together, share the information, empower one another, and advocate for one another so that we can work towards the implementation of the various rights and policies for inclusive education.
Oh, sounding very good. Sounding like a very strong, clear plan, which needs to be actioned. And I'm looking forward to seeing it happen. So, Janelle, what do you think success would look like for inclusive education within the next 3 to 5 years in the region?
The reality is everything takes time. I can't tell you that within the next 3 to 5 years that everything will be in place. I would love to say that, but it's highly unlikely. But at least we will know in the next 3 to 5 years, persons would have a better understanding on what is needed and what is required. And persons will have a better understanding as well of why the legislation and policy is needed and can advocate and fight for those rights in their own countries. So even if legislation has been enacted in their countries, like Barbados, for instance, our people will be educated on the rights that they have and how to advocate and stand up and require and demand those rights from the authorities.
Okay, cool. Now, you have several countries participating in the upcoming conference. And what are the dates for the conference?
So conference days, we have the opening ceremony on the 19th of October. And it says at Wyndham Grand Resort. It starts at 6 p.m. But before that, we're going to have some poster presentations from various entities showing the work that they're doing in inclusive education and displaying best practices throughout the Caribbean. And the actual conferences will be the Monday and Tuesday, which is the 20th and 21st of October.
Right. Okay. And several countries will be coming in to participate in this conference. Now, can you share with us how many of these countries actually have legislation or policy that promotes inclusive education?
As it relates to persons with disabilities and legislation of persons with disabilities, I believe there are only like 6 countries in the Caribbean who have legislation. But there are several policies currently in the Caribbean. We have the OECS. They currently have their inclusive education policy. I know the Caribbean Development Bank recently was working on a special education policy as well, which is supposed to be followed and guide all the member countries for the Caribbean Development Bank. So there are several policies currently in the region, but not enough legislation. And we know, as I constantly hear people saying, especially in our network, our president say all the time, that the legislation is what have the teeth. So you have to advocate for the legislation, because if persons are not following what the legislation says, that is when you can sue for your rights and seek redress. So there's not enough legislation in the region. And we're trying to work towards that as well.
Okay, as we get ready to wrap up this interesting and thought-provoking conversation, Janelle, tell us, what would you like the policymakers, the decision makers, governments in the region to do? And even at CARICOM level, what would you like to see these major entities doing to promote and include people with disabilities in education?
Okay. Well, we need the policy, we need the legislation, we need to bring about awareness as well. Persons need to understand why inclusive education is important and what is necessary. Because at the end of the day, we can talk about how much this is needed. We could put in as much legislation we want, but the attitudes of persons will still be a barrier. There will still be persons who believe that they don't have to do it. They don't have to teach children with disabilities. They don't have to include persons with disabilities. So we need more awareness. We need to change attitudes. And that is a campaign that I would love to see people embark upon as well, to try to change the attitudes of persons in society.
And my very final question, Janelle, is, are you satisfied with the involvement, participation, advocacy of persons with disabilities in the region? And how can more people with disabilities really strengthen their advocacy skills or be involved?
Okay, well, I do believe that there's a lot more that can be done. In a lot of cases, persons are tired. They feel as if they're not being heard and just shut down. And there are some persons who do not think they have anything to contribute. So I think that we need more empowerment throughout the region to educate and empower our persons with disabilities to advocate for themselves and to stand up for their rights. And in the correct way, I should say. So, yes, I believe that a lot more can be done and needs to be done, but there needs to be a lot more empowerment throughout the region as well.
Okay, Janelle, just remind us finally of those dates and venue for the Conference on Inclusive Education by the Caribbean Disability Network.
Okay, the Caribbean Disability Conference coming out here in Barbados at the Wyndham Grand Sam Lars Castle Resort. Opening ceremony for the 19th of October 2025. Conference days the Monday and Tuesday, the 20th and 21st of October. For more information or to register, you can go to CaribbeanDisabilityConference.org and get all the information there. Go to secure a ticket to attend a conference. All persons with disabilities in Barbados are absolutely free for an entire conference, and other persons only pay $150 Barbadian for the entire conference and receive all the benefits. So, CaribbeanDisabilityConference.org.
Thank you so much, Janelle, for sharing with us not just about the conference, but your thoughts and perspectives on inclusive education and what more can be done, as well as reviewing what has been done so far. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
And thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my very special guest today, Janelle Odell. Remember, you can reach me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. So until next week, love yourself and love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. Until then, ciao.